We continue where we left off towards the last third of Perik Aleph by the two dots, Ach Bir Ho'inyan. Ach Bir Ho'inyan. It's not on the sheet. You have to have the Tanya separate. The sheet is separate. Is it a Tanya? Yeah. All right. All right. The Tanya's being Mamshech, what was discussed last week, and that was the difference between a Beinoni and a Tzaddik. Where the Tanya put forth that this a tremendous idea that the notion of a Tzaddik is not the way that we usually perceive to be the definition of a Tzaddik. We find, of course, the term Tzaddik being thrown around quite often, and many times that it's really merely a borrowed Lashon. Means to say we call a person sometimes a tzaddik. We find a person is called a tzaddik also in terms of chazal. We're not because it defines the essence of the person. We find a person called a tzaddik if he has rave mitzvahs and he has miut averis, he's called a tzaddik. But not because in essence he's a tzaddik. Because if he has averis, he's not a tzaddik. If you do one avera, you're a rosha. Unless you do tshuva. So even if you might have rave mitzvahs, that does not negate the fact that there's a situation of the Averis as well. And therefore the Tanya goes on to say even further, not only a Tzaddik is one who is not Choyte, but even a Beinoni. Even a Beinoni is someone who is not Choyte. He's not Choyte Bechlau. The difference between the Beinoni and the Tzaddik, which the Tanya put forth, was that the Beinoni has a struggle. The Beinoni has conflict. The Beinoni has tension. But ultimately, the Tzad HaToiv overpowers the Tzad HaRa, and he's not Choyte. He's not succumbed to his Yetzer Hara. But he has the Yetzer Hara. He has that conflict. That's why it's called a Beinoni. Whereas the Tzaddik, who is the Tzaddik in his essence, and that's not the kind of Tzaddik that we know about. The kind of Tzaddik, says the Tanya, who is the Tzaddik in essence, is one who does not even have tension, does not even have conflict, is the Bechina that David HaMelech ultimately came to the Madrega where he used the Lashon V'libi Cholal Bekirbi, which means he completely destroyed, he killed his Yetzer Hara. Cholal means where a vacuum in the place where the Yetzer Hara usually resides, in the Cholal of the Lev, in the left chamber of the heart. V'libi Cholal Bekirbi. It's Cholal, it's empty. There's no Yetzer Hara. The Madrega where a person can be Kulei Toiv, we explained that already last week. But here the Tanya continues now on, and he says, "Arbir ho'inyan." He says, to understand this idea more, the different madregas that we have, Beinoni and Tzaddik and so on and so forth, that the Tanya is al pimacha kosef. He says, "Harav Chaim Vital Zal." Chaim Vital, of course, the Talmud of the Arizal, writes in Shara Kedusha, Sefer Eitz Chaim as well, Shanun Perik Beis, and he writes as follows. This is what Reb Chaim Vital, of course, whatever you see in Reb Chaim Vital, this is the Kabbalah that he has from the Arizal. He was the Talmud of the Arizal. The Lechol Ish Yisrael, he said, that the emes is that every Yid, Echot Tzadik Vechad Rosha Yesh Shtei Neshomis. Fascinating thing. That every person, whether he's a Tzadik or a Rosha, has equally had two Neshomis. Ukidachsiv, and the source of that idea, that there are two Neshomis, comes from the Pasuk. There's a Pasuk in Yeshaya. The Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Unishomois ani osisi. Nishomois is plural. Which means the Pasuk says that I have created Nishomois, two Nishomis. So how do we explain? What does it mean, two Nishomis? What are the differences between these two Nishomis? Why do you need two Nishomis? What is the function of these two Nishomis? So the Tanya further. These are two nefashos, meaning that these are two life forces. There are two forces which give life to a person. These are the two neshamas. And he begins now to explain the first one, and that concludes this parak, as we'll see. The second one is not explained in parak aleph. The second one, the second neshama, the second nefesh, is explained in parak beis. So what the Tanya now is going to explain in the next few lines, the function of the Nefesh Achas. Nefesh Achas, he says, is mitzad hakli. klipa v'sitra achra. One nefesh basically originates, it says, in the klipa and the sitra achra, which are explained actually in the Hagdama. Klipa, of course, means a shell or a peel, which means to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created various forces which conceal the godliness in the world. The fact is, wherever you go in the world, there is Kedusha. Except it's not seen in the open. It's covered, it's concealed, in the same way that a peel or a shell covers a fruit. So too, the Kedusha that exists in the world is not open, it's concealed. Sometimes it's open. Certain areas it is open. But then it says we have many, many, which we call klippas. Klippas means, which that is considered to be the evil. Because they conceal the Kedusha, they cover the Kedusha. And make it very, very difficult for a person to be able to draw from that Kedusha. And these sparks of Kedusha that are concealed are waiting to be redeemed. They're waiting to be redeemed by people who are Oved Hashem, that take these Gashmiyus, the elements in the world, and elevate them by using it for a purpose of Avodas Hashem. That is the way a person is able to redeem and to be able to draw from the Kedusha that is concealed in the Klipa. So the Klipa, basically, these are the forces which basically conceal the life force that's found in all of creation. There is, in all of creation, there is a life force, but it's covered up. It's covered up with a klipa or with a shell. And sitrachra means the other side, which is the other side of creation, which is the opposite of kedusha and the opposite of tahara. So b'derek klal, these two terms, as we mentioned, are synonymous. When you talk about sitrachra, the other side, or you talk about klipa. So you have what is the nefesh achas, which is mitzara klipa v'sitrachra. And he goes on to explain. V'hi hamislabeshes b'dam ho'odom lahachyeis aguf. And he says that it's this nefesh. Now, this nefesh that we're talking about, remember, there are two nefeshes. We're talking about nefesh number one. Nefesh number one, which is mitzad haklipa, which means which has negative components, basically. It's something that tries to cover Kedusha. It tries to conceal the Kedusha. This nefesh, which we just said, that originates in the klipa, is hamislabeshes bedam ho'odom lahachis aguf. It is that nefesh, again, the klipidige nefesh, the negative nefesh, that basically it's clothed in the blood of a human being, giving life to the body. In other words, it's not so pashit. We talk about every yid, we say, has a neshama. They always think about neshama being only holy, right? Because after all, yipach v'apach nishmas chayim, that's the second neshama. But there is an other neshama. There are two neshamas. And we're talking about the base neshama. The base neshama is faket. That's the neshama is mitzad haklipa. And what gives the physical life force is not that neshama that the pasuk refers to by Odom Rishon, by Yipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim, as we'll see, which the Tanya will discuss in the second parak. But the nefesh, which is mislabish in the dam, which gives the life force, as the pasuk says, Ukedachsiv ki nefesh habose bedam hi. You notice the Torah connects nefesh with dam. Which dam, of course, this is the physical being. What gives life into the dam? It's the nefesh of the flesh, ki nefesh habosar. Meaning, the nefesh which sustains the physical is in the blood. Again, the nefesh that sustains the physical, ki nefesh habosar bedamhi. The nefesh that sustains the physical is in the blood. And again, which nefesh are we talking about? This is the nefesh, the klipa. As a result, being that a person, the life force, which basically sustains the physical, is the nefesh of the klipa, umemeno bois kol amidoi sarois. It is from this nefesh that stems all of the evil characteristics that a person has. All the midos sarois that a person has comes from that nefesh haklipa. Me'arbo yesoidos roim shiba. Deriving from the four evil elements within it. As we'll go on to explain, that the world is created with four yesoidos. This is the basic four yesoidos, which is Eish, Ofor, Ruach, and Mayim. These four elements exist in every part of creation. There's these four elements, Eish, Ofor, Ruach, and Mayim. And these are the basic yesoidos of which every human being has, Eish, Ofor, Ruach, and Mayim, and it is these yesoidos that contribute the various different midos that we have. As the Tanya will go on to explain, by the way, all of this still is from Reb Chaim Vital. This is what he's quoting from Reb Chaim Vital, using somewhat his own lashon, Chaim Vital is telling us that these four Yesoidis, Hesh, Ofer, Ruach, and Mayim, it's from this Nefesh. From this Nefesh stem all of the evil Midas, Kol Amidas Rois, which are Arbo Yesoidis Roim Shabbat, deriving from the four evil elements within it. Which means, that in the same way that there are four physical elements, which is Hesh, Ofer, Ruach, and Mayim, these are basically the foundation of all the physical entities. Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim. The same way, this nefesh that we're talking about, the nefesh, the klipa, is also comprised of four corresponding physical elements, spiritual elements. Now, it's the same. There's also Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim. There's the beginning of Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim in the nefesh as well. The nefesh, but in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense, the nefesh is also divided into four components. Koyach of Eish, an energy of Eish, Ofer, Ruach, and Mayim. And being that this nefesh, which has within it these four attributes, Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim, is this nefesh that gives basically the physical life force. So the physical life force also is sustained from these four koyaches, from Eish, Ofer, Ruach, and Mayim. So Mamela again, so the nefesh is klipa, so the physical Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim that we have within our bodies also give out evil traits. Why? Because it comes from, what sustains it? The nefesh, the klipa. The nefesh, the klipa also has these four inyonim, Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim. And the nefesh, the klipa sustains our physical Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim. That's why the midas rois. So in turn, a person's evil characteristics come into being from these four yesoidis. Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim, which basically stem from the nefesh, the klipa. From the nefesh, the klipa. So now we have the Eish, Ofer, Ruach, Hamayim, and the koyach of Eish motivates us in one direction, the koyach of Ofer that we have motivates us in a different direction, and so on, Ruach, and so forth, Mayim. And he goes on to explain, as he says, Dahainu, Kaf v'gaive. Take for example the midah of anger and pride. Kaf v'gaive. That comes from Yesoid Ho'esh Shenigba Lamalo. It's from the element of fire, he says, which rises upward. You know, as the metaphor, the understand, man, the Shaykhis, he says, Kas and Gaiva comes from the Yisoid Oesh, because in the same way, when a person is ignited, let's say, by anger and pride, so he's like, sort of like he soars aloft, that's the idea, like Eish, by its tendency, has to soar Lamala, to go upward. So Mela, these Midois, Kas and Gaiva, come from the Yisoid Oesh, which rise upward. That is the way a person acts when he has Kas and Gaiva. The Maisa, as he points out, because the truth is, because Gaiva, is the pshat is that a person considers himself superior to others. I'm above. That idea of Eish, which rises Lamala. The Inyan of Gaiva. Yeah. The Inyan of Gaiva is rising higher. I'm above. I'm superior. So Gaiva comes from the Yisoid Oesh. And Kas, by the way, which he quotes also, because Kas is really an offshoot of Gaiva. Because if a person would not be so proud, then he wouldn't be so angry when someone defies his will. So in essence, Kas is really an offshoot of Gaiva. So Kas and Gaiva comes from the Yisoid Oesh. Next. The Tava Satanugim. And where does the appetite for pleasure come from? Taiva. Simply Taiva. Person has desire. All types of Taiva. Whether it's Taiva Zachila, any other of the physical Taivas that a person has. Taiva Satanugim. Says the taiva, says the appetite and the desire that a person has for pleasure comes from the yisoid of mayim, water. The element of water, the yisoid of mayim that we have. And explains it because ki amayim matzmichim kol mina tainuk. Because we see that water actually, it promotes the growth of all kinds of pleasure-giving things. That is the nature of water in the Bria. That water is matzmiach, it causes things to grow. So basically, it's matzmiach kol min ha'tainuk, right? So the ability that water has, right, to make pleasurable things grow, that basically, says the Tanya, that indicates that what's concealed within mayim, he says, is the element of pleasure. It's a koyach of pleasure. It's a koyach of taiva. Because mayim has the ability to make all of these things grow. Therefore, the appetite for pleasure comes from the element of water, comes from the yisoid of mayim. That's where taiva comes from. Interesting thing is, it was said by one of the Shalashidis, and we pointed out that mentioned the Mikubalim, that the truth is that a person who has control over his taiva, which means that he has control over his yesoid hamayim, that gives him the ability to dominate the yesoid hamayim in the world as well. By being able to control and to curb and to harness his own pleasures and his own taivas, he's able to be mitzamtzem, his own desires, and he's able to dominate and be above his own taiva, that will give him the koyach and the power over the element of mayim in the world at large. In other words, the Mukabolim, therefore, and the Mepharshim explain, when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, and we needed to find a way in an Eitzah of how to split the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf. So Chazal say on the Posuk, Hayom Rov Ayonois, so Ma Rov, and Chazal say, Aroinois Shel Yosef Rov, that the Yam saw the Oren of Yosef, the Atmos Yosef. No, so what? So he saw the Atmos Yosef, so why did he split? Yosef is known as Yosef HaTzadik, because Yosef is known, goes down into history, as being the one who was able to be Goyver on his Yetzer, to be Goyver on his Yetzer Hara. Yosef showed the highest level of how a person is able to dominate and to be Moshel on his own Yesoid Hamayim. And thereby that Yosef was in control over his own Yesoid Hamayim, he therefore also has a Koyach over the Yesoid Hamayim in the world. And when it came to being able to cause such a phenomenon as Kriyas Yamsuf, it was the Koyach of Yosef. Because one who has control of Taiva is in control of Mayim. If you're controlling Yesoid of Mayim, then you have this ability to also have the Koyach over the Yesoid of Mayim in the world at large. So we discussed already, we said the Yesoid Oesh, the Yesoid HaMayim, and we go further. V'hoilis v'leitzonis, he says, v'hispa'arus v'dvarim b'teilim Yesoid HaRuach. Hoilis means frivolousness. Litzonis, scoffing. And then he says, Hisparus means boasting. Dvaram betalim, stam narishkeit, and idle talk. All of these things, where do they emanate from? Where does it emanate from? It emanates mi yesoid haruach, from the element of air. The idea is, because just like air is something that is a dover shem by mamish, dvaram betalim also a dover shem by mamish. Zachzika mamish. In other words, they lack substance. Hoilalis, Leitzonis, Tzadav Hashem Be'mamish. So Mela, these things come from the Yisoid HaRuach, which Ruach is also, of course, in its essence, is Tzadav Hashem Be'mamish. He goes further, Ve'atzlis, and he says, Atzlis Ve'atzlis. Right, Atzlis, sort of like laziness, and Atzvis, sadness or melancholy. Right, prison Ve'atzvis, sort of like depressed sometimes. So a person who has the trait of atzlus, laziness, folkite, ba'atzvus, that's miyasoida ofor, comes from the element of earth. In other words, ofor basically is usually, it's something which is shver, it drags you down. So basically it's a person who is atzlus, but it means like it finds difficulty moving his evarim around, and so on and so forth. So these are the negative side, these are the Eish Ofer Ruch HaMayim, these are the negative side of, as we pointed out, which comes from Nefesh Deklipa. The Nefesh Deklipa, these are all the negative things, the Midas Rois that come from the Yisoides of Eish Ofer Ruch HaMayim. But the phenomenon is that being, we're talking about a Yid, so this Nefesh Deklipa, which has all of the negative components within it, also has a positive side. And by the way, we're not talking about the second neshama yet. We're talking even about the nefesh deklipa, which is the negative nefesh that he has. And he points out that also the gamidus toivus, that also the good midus, shibeteva kol yisro betol doisom. The good midus, basically, that's inherent that every yid basically has, right? They even had this good midus toivus. Here's kamei rachmonis, kamei chasodim, also bois memenis. They also come from it. It also comes from the same nefesh deklipa. How? How do we explain it? So we're going to read the line, and then basically we'll just elaborate a little bit on it. Just let's read the line, what he says. Kibi Yisrael, because regarding a yid, nefesh zu deklipa, because this nefesh, right? That's what he says, by a yid, not by umas olam, not by Gentiles, not by any other nevroim. By a yid, this nefesh deklipa also has a stickle flip side. What is the flip side? that this nefesh, the klipa, is meklipas noiga. It's from a klipa which is called noiga. Noiga means something which has brilliance. Noiga means something which has brightness. So there is a klipa noiga involved in this nefesh, the klipa. Sheyesh bo gam ken toif, which also contains something which is good. And therefore the chelik ha-toif, which is in that nefesh, basically that brings out the good midos also. Because that nefesh, the klipa, has a chelik which is klipas noiga. The same way that by eitz hadas we saw there's a taruvis, right? It says eitz hadas toivaro. So here too, the nefesh, the klipa, also basically there's eitz hadas toivaro. So I want to just explain a little bit of the kitzur, so you know what we're talking about here, that the Tanya puts forth from Chaim Vital and so on and so forth. Basically, which is something which runs through many, many times in all Sifrei Chassidus, especially the Tanya elaborates at many, many times. When we say that, we talk about the nefesh, the klipa. In other words, it's also referred to as the nefesh habahamis, which means the animal soul. There's the animal soul. In a certain sense, it's no different than an animal. It has a life force. It has this ruach, which gives it life. So a yid, a person, anybody, has this nefesh, the klipa, basically is nefesh habahamis. That's like the animal soul. And mamela, in the same way, as we say, again, it's called a klipa because the fruit is hidden, right? The toiv is hidden in the klipa, in the shell. So too. So the Tanya told us like this, that emes is everything in this world is created from four elements, which he said was esh, ofor, maim, and ruach. Let me just point out to you that these four elements are from the yesoidis of the Dalad Oysev, the Shem Havaya. Same way that Yud Kei Vav Kei, of course, the Dalad Oysev, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Dalad Oysev, the Shem Havaya. So each of the Dalad Yesoidis, which are Kodesh Baruch Hu, that created the world with implanting these Dalad Yesoidis, the Koiches of these Dalad Yesoidis, each one comes from a different letter. From a different letter of the Shem Havaya, as we will point out. Except these Oysias, of course, you cannot see. You cannot see these Oysias. Because they are hidden. They are hidden in the Dalad Yesoidis. In the Dalad Yesoidis, you have what gives us its power. You have the Dalad Oysev, the Shem Havaya. Kodesh Baruch Hu hides this Kovet. Kodesh Baruch Hu hides this Kovet by being mislabish himself in the Dalad Yesoidis. Right? And this is the general klal b'klal in all Sifrei Kabbalah, if you know, that any oyer, any light that emanates from above does not come directly down. But basically, it comes through mechitzes. It comes through various barriers that try to block it. So therefore you cannot see, it's not openly evident. And so I want to point out that emes is in every Dover Gashmi, in every Gashmi thing that we have in the world, there's a Nekud of Kedusha, or else it couldn't exist. There's a basic Yesoid, in Kabbalah, that every Gashmi thing has to have a Nekud of Kedusha. Even Tumah. If Tumah would be devoid, if you'd be able to suction out all of the Kedusha, there would be no Tumah. Tumah, similar to like bacteria, likes to feed, right? It has to be fed in order to grow. It has to draw sustenance. Tumah also, it feeds on Kedusha. It feeds on Kedusha. And therefore, I mean, this is of course a Madrega, but the Svar Magdoshim discussed, and it's brought down the Ber Hetev, which by the way, is on the Shulchan Aruch, that sometimes if a Yid learns Torah, but does not learn Torah b'Kedusha, you can have a Yid, you know, he learns Torah because he feels challenged by the intellectual stimulation of Torah, but he's not a practicing Yid. He doesn't follow what he doesn't practice what he learns. That Torah might feed the Sitra Achra. Instead of going into the upper spheres, in the Oyelam Esel Yoinim, to its proper place, just the opposite. It means the Chitzoinim and the evil forces go like bees are attracted to honey. Tumah is attracted to Kedusha, but it takes the Kedusha and dominates over it. So therefore, what comes down, in every Dover Gashmi there is an element of Kedusha, except it is hidden. The entire Olam HaTeva that we have, the entire Olam HaTeva basically, which seems to be devoid of Kedusha, you look at the world, it's a Gashmi is a world, that's basically the clip of Kedusha. This entire Teva is a world, so look, take anything in the world, anything Gashmi is. Rocks, stones, offer, whatever you look at. You look at the guys with the sun, moon, whatever. The entire Bria, this Olam HaTeva, this natural world, is really a clip of Kedusha, because what's contained within is Kedusha. Where is it? You don't see it? It's covered, like a shell covers a fruit. Can you tell me there's no fruit because you don't see it? Open up the shell. Break the shell. You'll find the fruit. Break into the Olam HaTeva. Break into the Olam HaTeva, and you'll be able to find the Kedusha there. But you have to go after it, and you'll be able to find it. That which we're saying is Kamat Mefurish in Yecheskel. The Nebu of Yecheskel talks about how he was zeichet to the Madregis that he saw in the Nebuah. He didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight forward. He didn't come straight to the ultimate Nebuah. He didn't see first. Yecheskel says that before he was zeichet to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on the Kisei HaKavod, as he saw the Marei Kvod, saw those visions. So we've seen Yecheskel, he had to cross many, many mechitzes. Yecheskel had to cross many barriers until he was zeichet ultimately to reach that height. It says in Yecheskel Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk says, Va'ere, he says, I saw Behine Ruach Sa'ara, right? A stormy wind. That's one mechitza, one barrier. Ruach Sa'ara, Bomen HaTzofet. Then he says, Onon Godel, right? A great cloud. It's another barrier. Then he says, Ve'esh Mitlakachas, right? And then there was fire. And then the fourth thing, V'noiga Lo Yisoviv. Remember we're talking about Klipas Noiga? Then I saw some brilliance and I saw some brightness around it. Which means to say we have four types of mechitzes that are ma'akev, that prevent the person from seeing. And the most difficult one is the first one, Ruach Sa'ara. That's a stormy wind. If he manages to pass that, to overcome that, manage to break through the Ruach Sa'ara, so then you have still an Onon Godel. Then you have the Eish Mislakachas. You have that fiery situation. And after that comes Vinoy Galoy. Vinoy Galoy means you're able already to see a little bit of the light. You're able to see a little bit of the light. Why? Because that fourth mechitza is already very thin. And when you have a very thin wall, light is able to break through into it, sort of like transparent. You have a mechitza and you don't have a mechitza. So that's Klipas Noiga. That mechitza that we call Klipas Noiga happens to be something which has Itzad HaToiv as well, because that allows you to see the Kedusha, because that's a very thin wall already. After he was able to overcome all the four, what does Yecheskel say? Niftechu ha-shamayim ve'ere maroi selikim. He said, and then he says, I was able to see the maroi selikim, and I was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the three are called the Sholish Klipas Hatmeyos, the very strong Klipas of Tumah. And then the fourth one, as we say, the fourth klipa, you have four, which that is, we say, Klipas Noiga. So the emphasis is also that when it comes to Avodas Hashem, there's also a big difference between the three and the fourth one, which is Klipas Noiga, the fourth shell. The idea is that the first three, till Bias HaMashiach, can never be transformed into Kedusha. They will remain the way they are. It is Klipas Noiga. It is that fourth klipa, which is not so thick, can change. Instead of being a klipa as it's now, it's able to change and transform, that it becomes captured into the realm of Kedusha. What we're saying is Merumas, and I'll just point you to Maromokim, or Chaim HaKodesh Parshas Sazria, right? So Chaim HaKodesh talks about that Knesset Yisrael is compared to an egois. Knesset Yisrael is compared to an egois, to a nut. Egois, the Potek says in Shirashim El Ginaz, egois yoradati. Right. What is the tzura of the egois? Egois, basically, taking it out, you know, from the field, it really has four shells. The bechitz is called, you have the klipa yoroika, which is very, very bitter. That's something that you remove already in the field. It's no shaykhis tachila. It's mamish. No shaykhis tachila whatsoever. It's completely, completely negative. That's why, by the way, the aloch is on Shabbos, if you would remove the klipa yoroika, which is the first one, you're chai for mefarik removing, because you achieved, you created, right? You achieved by removing and separating that which might have good from that which is totally, right? Not usable. Mefarik. However, the other klipas, which are already closer to the food, because there's many layers, the closer they are to the food, they have more shaykhis to the yoichel. So by the egois, basically you have the various klipas, remove then you have the harder shell after that, then you have another shell, and finally you have a very thin shell. If you dafke want to, you have to remove it. You can eat it together with the nut. That's very thin klipa. That's good. That's the bechin of the klipas noiga. That fourth one, that's the one that's right over the oichel, that's right over the foodstuff. So that which is right over the foodstuff, it's shaykh to eat it. You don't have to remove it. It's not mamish and oichel. It's not. But if you want to, it can be. It can be. So mamela, this klipa dake, which can be eaten, this klipa dake which can be eaten, mamela, is merumas on klipas noike, which means you're able to be mahapach at the kedusha. You're able to be mahapach at the kedusha. By the way, also the Moranaim and Pasha Zawaira also discuss it. Nochem Shalnobel. It's interesting just to mention, which Tantan does not allow, so just going to pass over it. But the idea is that the Avodas Adam is in this world is to break the mechitzes of Klipa to be able to enter the Gula of Kedusha. We look at this Gashmizdige world, and we don't see godliness. It's hidden. Kadosh Baruch Hu hid himself, hid Kedusha in the Teva, into nature. The Avoda, so Odom in this world, is to break the mechitzas of Klipa, and to be able to recognize, and to find the Rabbeinu Shloilam within nature. To be able to find the element of Kedusha within nature. And for that, there's a Moshe Nifla that, you know, also for Hasidus, basically, they talk about it, which is the Degel Mach Nefrayim. The Einikov and the Baal Shem Tov brings in the Haftarit Tepash Kesov and the Baal Shem Tov. He brings the marshal, as he says, where a melech surrounded himself with seven chaymes, with seven walls. And each wall, in addition to the seven walls, he also surrounded it with wild animals and crocodiles and all time, only to prevent people from coming to him. However, there was a challenge. Whoever would able to break through a wall would have a gevaldig eschar, would have tremendous, tremendous reward. Tremendous reward. So there were some gebeirin that managed to take the challenge, and they managed to break through one wall. It was a lot of work. But finally, they were able to break through. So they got the reward. And they said, you know, we took the reward. That's enough, he said. We accomplished. But we have no koyach to go to the second chayma. Second chayma is already, it's much too difficult, because the second one, each additional chayma was surrounded with more vildachais, gresra vildachais, much more difficult task. And they said, it's enough already. We did it. We accomplished. But then, so you have a mute. Then you have some people, you know, who are more ambitious. So they even attempt to break the second wall and to pass over it, and then they get a gevaldig eschar. They stop and say, okay, we can't, it's enough, dayenu. Then again, you have less people, always, you know, less people who are more and more ambitious, fewer people who have, and so on and so forth. The Ben HaMelech, he does not rest. He says, I'm not interested in the reward to say that, okay, I already broke through three walls and I got a lot of reward. I can retire already. I'm not doing it for the reward. I want to see the Melech. It's my father. Baruch Hu created so many barriers in this world, he says. And the idea is, yes, every time we achieve something, we get tzchar. But the ultimate avoda is to reach a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to come and to connect with the Rabbi Nishlam. It should not be l'shem tzchar. Yes, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives tzchar, and there's a lot of tzchar. But the idea is to be able to come to the Bechina. We want to reach and go into the Heichel HaMelech. It's non b'shem the Tanya, or Tanya Tamul Gezuk, the Rabbi Nishlam. Tanya said in English, she says, I don't need your Gan Eden, I don't need your Olam Haba, I need you. Very nice, good, great, Gan Eden Kavali. I don't need your Gan Eden, I don't need your Olam Haba, I want you. That is the Avodah Sodom. So again, so that's why, again, these Chaymas, these are walls that we're calling Klipos, because they break, and these are the Mechitzas that try to prevent a person from reaching Kedusha. I want to mention to you that in the Sefer Chassidus, it's also mentioned that Mila is the Orla. Orla is also a klipa. Orla is also removing the impurity. That's why you remove the Orla. The Orla also has, there are four parts to it. There are four chalokim. In other words, there's four sort of like four layers. There's four layers. Three are cut off completely. That's the Bechin of Lahaver Gilulim Menoretz. The fourth is Priya. Not removed, but readily it's merely separate. It means it's turned upward, right? In order to reveal, to bring out the Torah, to bring out the Kedusha. That's Keneged Klipas Noiga. That fourth Oyer in the Mila, you don't cut off. There's the Oyer HaPriya. What that does, it reveals the Torah, bringing out the Kedusha. That is that membrane that is directly over the Torah. That is the Oyer HaDalad. the Or Hadalad again connected the four ideas that we're mentioning, which are the four klippas, the three which are totally evil, and the fourth one, which is klippas noiga, which has good in it as well, depending how you use it. Because as the Tanya said, when men are boy gamkein, from the klippas noiga, a person is able to be mahapach and hapach l'toiv. By the way, this idea is brought forth also in the Orachaim HaKodesh in Parsha Sazria. It talks about Mila, the Bosra Orla, that's connected a klippa, and he goes and breaks up the three mitzvahs. There's the chituch, cutting away the orla, then there's the priya, removing the membrane, and then you have the metzitza. Orachaim HaKodesh discusses it. By the way, I should mention, which is fascinating, the Medrash tells us, you know, we have the four golias as well. We have four golosin. For golosin, we have Bovel, Modai, Yovon, and Edoim. These are the Arba Golis, and we are now in the last Golis. This is Golis Edoim. Right? This is the last Golis. Golis Edoim. So these Dalet Golisin are Keneged, the Medrash says, the four Behemoth Tameis mentioned in the Torah. The impure animals are four. The Gomel, the Chazer, the Arnevis, and the Shofar. Four. The four Golisin. The four Golisin are Keneged. Why? Because these are Dalet Klippos. These are Dalet Klippos again. These are four clips that we're talking about. And Edom is the Chazer. Edom is the Chazer. And what do Chazal say about Chazer? By Chazer, Chazal say, why is it called Chazer? Lo menike shemoy Chazer. Al shem she'oser HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzor letaharosoi. Lo se lovoi, it says that the Chazer will become Tohar. I'm going to get into the halachic problem issues about that. Does the Torah change? In other words, something that also can never become mutter. It's a big discussion in Gedolim Mefarshim. Just want to mention, this is a measure that's quoted very often. I have to tell you, the Bnei Yisoschar, in the Chodesh Odor, the Drushim or Chodesh Odor, he says, She'af she'margele v'pumei de'enshe she'chazer osad li'taher hein emes lo'inoida mekoyim o'ayye. I don't know where it is, he says. Maybe it's a Messiah. I couldn't find in the Medrash. So I want to mention to you. That Mesotzka Taki says couldn't find a Medrash Chazal, but I want to mention it's brought down in Rabbeinu Bechaya that Chazal will become kosher. Rabbeinu Bechaya. I don't know if you're so happy about that, but Nachai Pajer Shemini. All right. Also brought down in the Shloah Kodesh. Shloah Kodesh brings it down in the section Toil Sodom. Ramah Mepanu, the great Baal Mekubal, Ravenu Menachem Azariah, in the Sefer Asorah Mamoris brings it down, and the Rikanti brings it down, and by the way, the Orachaim HaKodesh brings it down in Pasha Shmini. And shouldn't leave it out, Chassam Sofer also brings it down in Pasha Shrei. Okay? That makes it. So this is the thing. Alright, so this is the idea. So Edom, which is the last Golas, is Keneged the Chazer. This last Golas is the one that's going to be transformed into Geula. This last Golas is the one that's going to be transformed into Geula. The fourth Klippa, as we said, is the one that will be able, right? Which is Klippas Noiga, which has a Tzara Toiv as well. And it's Yitochen, and it's possible through Avodas Odom to transform that into Toiv. So that's the fourth Klippa, the fourth Golas. Fourth Golas is Keneged, the fourth Behemoth Tameya. Is Keneged Chazer, and let me tell you what else. In the Brocha of Lamal Shinin, we say in Brocha of Lamal Shinin, by the way, in Nusach Ari. Alright. So in Nusach Ari, it says, Sa'aker, Usishaber, Usimager, Visachnia. The other Lishoinis are not in Nusach Ari. Okay. So these four Lishoinis, what are we saying? What are we saying, these four Lishoinis? We're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, to break, to remove the Ra, right? The Dalet Klippos. You know, it's four Lishoinis. It's a coincidence, four Lishoinis. These four Lishoinis means we are being Mistalek Kodesh Baruch Hu to remove the Dalet Klippos. To remove the fourth Klippa. What is the last Lashon? Visachnia. It's different than the first three. The first three is totally eradicate. Smager, Shaber, Sa'aker, to be Oiker. Sachnia means what? Not to destroy, to subdue. Sachnia, to have control over it. Because the fourth Klippa, it's Yitochim to be Mahapach L'Kedusha. That's connected against the idea of Klippas, of Klippas Noiga. So that is as we see the essence that we find over here. Al Kaponim. Sir. Yes, Zechnishmas. Yudah ben Simcha Doiv. Yidl Press, Rabbi Yisai. Now, the Tanya mentioned here from the Dalet Yesoidus, Tanya mentioned about the Inyan of Atzvus, right? Atzvus and Atzlus, coming from the Yesoid of Ofer. Atzvus and Atzlus. Just want to mention, thank you. When we talk about Atzvus, just to have an idea, this is all in the category of Midos Rois, he's referring to. Atzvus. Atzvus, of course, means the hepech of Simcha. Baron Karlina. He brought down there's a sefer called Yalkut Divrei Aaron. He said, when you talk about Simcha, a Yid being besimcha, he says, when we talk about Simcha, he says, we don't mean dafke Simcha Shal Mitzvah. He says, why? Simcha Shal Mitzvah is a madrege. Not every Yid is not madrege. Simcha Shal Mitzvah. He said, but we mean the hepech of Atzvus. When we talk about Simcha, we mean the hepech of Atzvus, not to be beyatzvus. And he says, Ayid was gait arim mit Simcha. He says, was gait nisht arim mit Simcha. The very fact that you're a Jew, he says, and you're not besimcha, he says, you're a kofi toive. The very fact, bestayid, he says. And a gait nisht arim besimcha, he says, is a kofi toive, he says. And he says, is a simen, as a kaimul nish geher, the bruche shlo yisani goy. You never heard of that bracha, he says, or you didn't dare hear it. Shlo yisani goy, we make a bracha. So the fact is shlo yisani goy, if you make a bracha, that means it's a tremendous, tremendous privilege. For that alone, you shouldn't be biatzis. Can't be biatzis. Oy bia, hop minish the head. You don't realize how privileged we are. Shlo yisani goy, he points out. And he also once said, there are two things, which is neither a mitzvah, nor it's an avera. However, he said, Nishka mitzvah, nishka avera. One of them, however, in spite of not being a mitzvah, brings more toyeles than the greatest mitzvah, even though it's not a mitzvah. And there's something else, which is not an avera, but brings more destruction than the greatest avera could never bring. And he said, mikveh betzim, it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. He says, Chazal say they were mevatel tefilas Ezra. Used to be a time, whenever somebody was a balkari, right, was not allowed to daven, right? You had to go to the mikveh. Chazal said they were mevatel tefilas Ezra. So Rabbi Al-Kalina said, so mikveh is kachir. But the tahara that a mikveh could bring you, he says, is more tahara, he says, than any mitzvah can bring you. It's not a mitzvah. But the tahelis is more than any mitzvah. And then he said, atzvus per se is not mentioned in the Torah as an avera. But it can destroy more than any avera can destroy you. You can do the greatest avera in the world, it will not tear you down as much as atzvus. As the Rabbi Al-Kalina. There's no room in a yid, the idea of atzvus. The kilkel that atzvus can bring, the biggest avera can't bring. That's the thing in Avatsis, he used to point out. He used to say once, he said, Rabbi Al-Kalina, he used to say a cute word. He said, if Avraham Avinu was the greatest person in our history, certainly way up there, Avraham Avinu, he said, would want to change places with me, he said, I wouldn't want it. Why? Because he said the pshat like this. What is Avraham Avinu? Who was Avraham Avinu? Avinu was a tzaddik. Who am I? An ishpushit. If we would switch, so I would be the tzaddik, he would be an ishpushit. What did Rabbi Shalom gain? One tzaddik and one ishpushit. Tzabir zazan a tzaddik, I don't want that guy. Are you supposed to do mitzvahs? He says, Poshil Shem Shemaim, to do yavoyde, as if yayid after team yavoyde. So it comes out that atzvus, which he pointed out from Yesoid HaOfer, atzvus is the hepech of Yahadus. Atzvus is the hepech of Yahadus. Why? Because the hepech of Midas HaBitochen. If you think about it, present is boinen, what atzvus is. Atzvus is the hepech of Midas HaBitochen, because the person who's a b'teich b'Hashem doesn't have on what to be misatzev, because he believes that Kodesh Baruch Hu is always with him, and whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu does is b'yad Hashem. There is no mokim for atzvus for an oived Hashem. A person oived Hashem no more access. And even when it comes to avelus, avelus is a mitzvah. Avelus is a mitzvah. But avelus and atzvus are not the same thing. Even when someone is an avelus, but it's not atzvus. It's two separate things. Gemara says in Ksubis, let me just tell you this, right, Davom on the base, we know a chosn maker adin is potter from Krishma. Laila Harishan, right? A chosn, a new chosn is potter from Krishma. Why? Because he's a torid. Pick them up and copy. He's torid, terid of the mitzvah. Chosn is potter from Krishma. Because he's torid, terid of the mitzvah. But you know, the Gemara says an oval is chayev be Krishma. Even though he is a torid in his avelis, right? Even though he's torid in his avelis, nevertheless it's not a sibah to pater him. Why? So Rashi says, he says, an oval is torid in his avelis, and if he has tsar, that's a reshus, because the tsar is not the mitzvah. The tsar is not the mitzvah. The chosnu has the tear that he says, that's all part of the tear of the mitzvah. He says, by avelis, he says, the fact that he may be atzvis, and therefore he is a torid, he says, that's not part of the mitzvah. The Ian of Avelis is not Atzvah. The Ian of Hanhog of Avelis is to show Kovet Ames, to show how much the mess meant to him. So therefore we do all of these various Hanhogim. But it's not a Metzias or something Isiba that really a person should fall into the Ian Tak of Atzvah. So Kaponim, so here we go again. So we'll go back to the Tanya. So we have here the, basically we have the Klippas, the Dalet Klippos. The first three are are the Yisoid of Midas Rois. Then we have the fourth. Again, even the Nefesh de Klippa. Again, even the Nefesh de Klippa, there's a Tzad HaToiv. Even the Nefesh de Klippa, there's a Tzad HaToiv, which is the Klippa of Noiga. Which is the Klippa of Noiga, which that is the Klippa which also has a Tzad HaToiv. And by the way, therefore, when a person taki eats, and he does the Gashmi to get Pa'ula, he makes a Brocha properly. Right? And he eats with the Kavona to be able to be Oved Hashem, and to do things, and to live in a Kosh Brocha's world, and to do all the mitzvahs and the Ma'asim Toivim, he has transformed, right, that Achila into an Achila, into Achila of Kedusha. As we'll see from the Tanya, Umesoilam, Goyim are not capable of doing that. They are not capable. They don't have this klipas noiga to be able to be mahapach gashmis into kedusha. That's why we find by Goyim we find Chazal say that a goy, if he wants to, he can also bring a carbon. Ish ish l'rabbis shenoidrim nedorim v'nedoves ki Yisrael. That goyim are able to be menadev nedorim v'nedoves. However, the carbon that they can be menadev is a carbon oil, not a carbon shlomim. You know why? Because a korban shlomim involves achila, essen bekedusha kenish kan goy. A korban shlomim can a goy nishmin avizda. Because shlomim involves achila. A goy cannot eat kedusha. Cannot take this gashmizig world and elevate it to kedusha. A korban oil is kulay kolal, vafmafim is baech, and burn it. Fine. So he burned the entire korban oil and becomes kulay kodesh. However, he does not have that kind of a koyach. That is the difference between Yisroel and Lo'amim. And that's basically what the Tanya basically is trying to tell us. So now, as we come, let's go further. Let's finish up the words of the Tanya over here. Let's take a look further. The Tanya continues on. The Tanya Azoy. Kamash Yikosa Beitz Chaim. All right. Kamash Yikosa Beitz Chaim, we're continuing. Shar Mem Tes Per Gimel. Excuse me, did I leave out something here? Okay. Yeah, Masha. Okay, so, all right. So we're going weiter. So he says, Yisroel, we said that the Nefesh, the Klippa, we said, right, is fine. Yesh begam kitoy Masha. Enke nefoshes umesoylam, that's the Nikud that we pointed out. The nefoshes umesoylam, hen mishar klippas tameyas, she ein behem toiv klal. But their neshomas, they emanate right from a chelik, which has no klal, which is the totally the klippas which have no good, doesn't contain any toiv. Konshikosa beitz chaim sham mem tes. And he points out and he says, V'chol tivu de ovdin ha'umois legarmayu ovdin. Which means to say is that all the good that the nations do is for selfish motives. Because being that the neshama comes from the klippas, which basically don't contain toiv, so it follows that any toiv that is done is for selfish motives. U'kedisa b'gemara, as the Gemara tells us, al-posik, on the posik, v'chesed l'umim chatos, that the kindness of the nations is sin. What do you mean it's sin? She called tzedakah v'chesed shumas oylam oisim einan ela l'yisyarboi. Basically, they do it for the selfish implications. Now, Avada is pointed out that there are chesedim umas oylam. There's difference. And there are chesedim umas oylam that are known, which means that there are some who basically also have the tzad ha'toiv. As we pointed out, it's klipas noiga. It's called chesedim umas oylam. It's shy of such a situation. But with derech klal, what the Tanya is referring to, the Tanya says that when the toiv that goyim do, basically they do for themselves. I want to show you first on the sheet just a little bit. I don't know how much time we're going to have. Just point that a little bit. Just a little bit. So we should just rush a prokim over here. Look first at the Kedushas Levi, number one. Hine noida. Shekol ha-metziyas asher nimtzi tonu bo'ilam hazeh hu murkiv medalad yisoidis eish ruach mayim ofer. Ubon, right? Nozda ha-teva. Teva was founded on these four yisoidis asher bo nitvu kol mine taivis ha-guf ha-noguv ha-murkiv mehem. All the taivis and all the desires and everything come from these four yisoidis. Hine shayrish ha-dalad yisoidis. Where is the shayrish of these dalad yisoidis? Noida shorsham, it is known that the shayrish, the root, the midis huel yoynes, haroimzim bedalet oisis havaya brachu. As we pointed out, it comes from the dalet oisis on the Shem Havaya. The Tanya tells us that the next Kushas Levi says, Vayeser Yosef markaptoi, that Yosef, what did Yosef do? Vayeser, he harnessed his chariot. The Kushas Levi says, Perish, she'osar haguf. It means what he did was, he tied, he bound his guf, shuhumurkev ma'arba yisoidis. Vayal likras Yisrael Oviv means shehele gufoy Hashem Yisbarach. He elevated his guf, his gashmi the geguf, shenikra Yisrael al shem Yosher Kael. Yisrael is Yosher Kael, right? Elevating his guf. Goishna means loshen hagosha, bringing it closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Taking the gashmi the geguf, mahalois hakoil el achdus habayre Baruch Hu. Vezehu goishna. Goishna is goishin, right? Hey. Ki hei haina Hashem echod. Hey Aleph. Uboi nisagdu kol adal yisoidis. In the Shem Havaya you have all of the dalad yisoidis. So he points out, he says, the person who does that is a true tzaddik. Yosef was known as Yosef HaTzaddik. The pshat like this, Vayeser Yosef, Yosef able to harness merkavtoi. What's Losh merkavtoi? The harkova. Harkova means the combination. A guf is a combination, it's murkav. The guf is a combination of the dalad yisoidis. Yosef was known as Yosef HaTzaddik. Why? He was able to harness. He was in control of all of the forces that come out of the Dalet Yisoidis. Anyway, the rest is also similar to that. You can look at your leisure. The Maranayim and so on also brings works with the Dalet Yisoidis as we have over here. Just want to mention to you that when he points out over here, he says that the Toivis that Umesoilam do, the Maisim Toivim, they do Legarmayu, they do for themselves. That means that Barayid, when he does a mitzvah, right, his Pnimius really wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the essence. A Yid really wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the difference. And it's very interesting where Rashi says Avraham Avinu. Rashi says Avraham Avinu. Veschol Goy Godel. Right? So first of all, you know, the Brach of Avarechacha, Veschol Goy Godel. Right? So Rashi says Bemomo, and all of the Gashmis, the Ginyonim. Right? Avarecha, Veschol Goy Godel. And then we find all Vagad Lo Shemecha. And then Rashi says Dovar Acher. Right? So why does Rashi say Dovaracha? Wherever Rashi says Dovaracha, Rashi tries to explain the Pshuta Shel Mikra. So what prompted Rashi here to say this Dovaracha, which doesn't seem to be in tune with the Pshat? Where do you see in Veschol Gagodl Zeshoimrim Melekei Avram? And so on and so forth. So the Abtaru of the Oiv Yisrael, one of the great Talmidim of the Magid, the Abdul of Tamul Gezukti, he says like this. The truth is, he says, when a Navi sees Nevuah, receives a message from a Shemayim, the Navi does not get the message clear. He sees a lot of Oisius. And the Navi, based upon his personality, his Mitzar of the Oisius, puts them together, and a message emerges. So Avraham Avinu, he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the question is, what is this big Nisoyan here? If I'm going to tell a person, you know, if you stay here, no Parnosa, no children, no nothing. But if you go over there, you know, then you can become famous. You're going to have a large family. You're going to have a beautiful panosa. Why would you want to stay here? So Lech Lecha is supposed to be one of the great Nisyonis, right? So the Teretz is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, Ba'eschol Legoy Godel, Ba'varechecha, says Rashi Dovaracha, Avraham Avinu heard another pshat. He says, Ba'eschol Legoy Godel, Zeshom Melekei Avram, my job in the world is, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me, I see I have to dedicate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for me. And the next bracha is Eshoim Lekai Yitzchok. El Kayakev, I have to make sure that I raise children and grandchildren. Avraham Avinu with children Yitzchok. He transmitted his Messiah to Yitzchok. And then from Yitzchok to Yaakov, and so on and so forth. Avraham Avinu understood that all the Toivin, all the brachas Baruch Hu gives him is not for his own personal use. but rather to give it back and to use that with the Koich HaShpoah to bring about the Shem Hashem in the world. That is a Nesoyin. Because Avraham Avinu understands that the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, the more his responsibility is to give back. That people always take from society, but they never give back from society. Always undertake. So Shrab used to say, Loi v'roshe v'lo yishalem. It's not only when you borrow money from a neighbor. He said, the truth is, everything that we receive on this world is on loan. And we have a chrayas to give back. Society does so much for us, but we have a chrayas to give back. The sun serves us, the moon serves us, the atmosphere is here to serve us, and what do we give back? Do we make it a better world? Do we do something to build the world? Do we do something to guarantee the kiyum ha'olam? It's a person who only takes and takes and takes, but does not do the proper thing. In order to make a contribution to society, he's a loy v'rosh v'lo yishalom. He's taking, because whatever we have is only on loan. But there's an achrayus, what we receive, to give back to the world. So it's borrowing without paying back. That's all part of Loi V'Roshav Loi Yishalem. The idea of Avraham Avinu understands that all the Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him is to give back. That's my mission. And Elokei Yitzchak, we should say, to build a world, to build the people that are going to be able to understand that. To say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That is an Nesoyim. Because the more you give me, right, then the more achrayus I have to build even more and to be Mekadoshim Shemayim even to a greater level. It said about the Vilna Goyen that he said, he was very, very nizer, of course, in all the mitzvahs, especially I tried to have an Esrig Mehuder. So it just turned out that once that the Shluchim that were going around to try to find an Esrig could not find an Esrig Mehuder. Until they came to a person, a Seicher, who sold Esrigim, who happened to have one beautiful Esrig Mehuder, but didn't want to sell it. He wanted it for himself. So finally they said, you know, it's not for us. We want it for the Goyen. So the man began to tremble. To give an esrog to the goyin. What a gevaldig schus. However, I don't want to get paid for it. I want the schus of the mitzvah, the schar of the mitzvah. The goyin will do the mitzvah with the esrog. I want the schar of the mitzvah. The goyin's mitzvah. That will be my payment. They were very, very hesitant. Who knows what the goyin's going to react with? What a price to pay. All the money in the world can't pay for the schar of one mitzvah. And here this yid says he doesn't want money. He wants the schar of the goyin's mitzvah. But they had no bravery. They had no other esrog. So he took the risk and he said the esrog. They go back to the goyim and very, very hesitatingly, they told him what the deal was. He said, we have an esrog. But I said, but hold it. He says, you know what the price is? The price is, you're giving up the schar v'mitzvah. And the goyim danced from simcha, said, all my life, I wanted to be mekayim, what it says, altiyu kavodim, hamisham shim zrava manata kabal pras. But it's not shayach, because inevitably every mitzvah has schar. So how can I do a mitzvah shloim not to come from now that I lost the schar of the mitzvah, the greatest mitzvah in the world, he says. That's a tremendous schar. That's a tremendous koyach. That's what the Tanya says. That koyach only a yid has. But a mishoilam, even if they do toy, legarmayu, it's for their own personal reasons. That's a major distinction between a yid and a koyach.